Welcome to Lynn Cullen Live, talk radio without the static. Email your questions and comments to lynncullenshow@gmail.com. And now your host, Lynn Cullen.
Hey, how you doing? I realize I say hey instead of hello. I do. When I'm walking my dog and somebody nods and says hello, I always say hey. I don't know what I have against hello. Anyway, hello or hey. It's January 4. It's a Tuesday, and Susan should be there. Hi.
Hi, good morning.
Hey. I don't know why I do that. Is that a, I don't know.
Hey. A little Green Bay, maybe.
You think? No, the
hey.
Hey.
Hey. Hey. How are you?
No, I don't. Yeah, how you doing?
Yeah, I'm fine.
Yeah, so you're still up there and...
No, I'm not. I'm sitting in my living room.
Oh, I cannot keep track of you. When did you leave?
Imagine how I feel.
When did you leave?
Yesterday.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay. Jeez. All right, so you're in Chicago.
I'm in Chicago.
I just read this stupid, you know, statistic. It says here that 6 in 10 Americans say they are worn out by the pandemic. And I just want to know, who are the 4 in 10 that said they weren't?
Well, they're either people that have totally ignored everything and continue to do whatever they want, or they're people that never did anything anyway and life is perfect.
Or they're people who are sort of people who accept things and whatever. I don't know. But I mean, if I were asked, are you worn out by this pandemic? I'd sure as hell say.
Most assuredly so. I am
yeah.
so tired of having to take it into consideration regarding absolutely every single thing I do, from going to the grocery store to going to the doctor to seeing my friends, which
right.
I don't do, to go, you know,
yeah.
taking trips, which I don't do, to my life has become extremely small. I just ping pong between the people that I see in Chicago and the person that I see in Green Bay.
Well, it's family. It's
yeah.
only family.
Only.
Wow.
There's an occasional friend in Green Bay and
yeah.
an occasional friend in Chicago. But it's very hard because I actually quarantine in order to see unvaccinated grandchildren. So when you figure in the timing and how long I'm in either place, it's difficult. Friends,
yeah.
friends, you know, I can't do it.
Well, you know, our London say that they think they've struck by how Americans are either ignoring this, you know, the Trumper types, or they're way too risk averse. That's how they see it. That they're somehow more in the middle. And I don't
well, know. One of the things that allows them to be in the middle is they have access to tests. I mean, so when they came in, when they came here, they had, you know, they were testing daily. They were out and about, but they were testing daily, which, you know, allowed me to have them in my house and go see our mother. I mean, you know, it's, I don't, I
what
not,
did they have? Just a whole suitcase full of tests?
They come in different things. They had a box that had 18 tests in it. It was the same size as the box we get with two.
All right. Okay. Hell with it.
Yeah, elephant. That's right. Here we are at the beginning of year three, and the only thing that I can say is that N95s are easier to get, and of course were the thing that we all needed, and of course they're admitting that they told us that not to use them because they needed them for other people, and that's why they also told us not to wear masks in the beginning, which I think is just a terrible thing, because they have to admit it's that they lied. But it was it was a little white lie. It's like, excuse me, Santa Claus,
But recently they lied again because now we're told those cloth masks
never worked at all.
Useless. But I wore cloth masks for
They were better than nothing. And if like. I had masks that had little pockets into which I inserted a filter.
Yeah, a filter, yeah. I had masks with little pockets in which I didn't insert a filter because I just got to the point where I couldn't. I just couldn't. So here I am, so far, so good. There you are, so far, so good.
Yeah, well, I just ordered some nice N95s that are comfortable, and I prefer them. They go around your head as opposed to your ears, which seeing that I don't care whether it messes up my hair or not, it's a better seal, and you can breathe in them.
Yeah. Speaking of masks, this is one of my go-to tweets of the day. I see people post things. I think, yeah. So I'm going to share it with you. This goes out to all the hysterics on the right who feel like they're being tortured by fascists with mask mandates and things like that. And one guy posted, "If you think having to show your vaccine card to enjoy jalapeno poppers at a shitty chain restaurant is analogous to the experience of Jews during the Holocaust, why not make it your New Year's resolution to read a book this year?"
Well, that falls on deaf ears.
Why? Oh, you mean for them?
Right.
Yeah, for them. Barbara sent me breaking news. Cool. From Bloomberg.
Yeah, 1 million. We're accepting.
1 million people in the U.S. were diagnosed with COVID.
New daily record. Yay!
Yesterday, as a tsunami of Omicron swamped.
And that's an undercount. That's an undercount.
Yeah, that's
course.
An undercount for sure. Yeah. So, whatever. Hey, Susan, yesterday, Pittsburgh had a historic. Well, there are two historic things happened in Pittsburgh yesterday. I will share them.
Did you hear the boom?
I did.
Did you say what's that?
I was walking the dog. I did, because it was a strange sound. It was raining slightly. I was walking the dog, and I heard the boom, and I thought, what? That'd have been thunder, and I quickly said no. That was not thunder, but that was it. And then I didn't think anything of it until a friend called and said, "Did you hear that?" And she thought she felt a shake as well. So I have an update on that, the recent update on what the hell that was. And this is from NASA.
Mm-hmm.
NASA has a meteor watch. It says this is an update on the New Year's Day bolide over Pennsylvania.
It was a bolus.
Wait a minute. What is a
bolus? It was just a little thing. It was a little thing about a yard wide, but with a mass, of like a huge.
That's exactly where I'm going. Right. So this is so odd because it was so small, and yet it said. They did register the blast wave from the meteor as it broke apart, and they estimate the energy of that breaking apart of that boom we heard at 30 tons of TNT. Now, what kind of, I don't know, 30 tons of TNT? Is that, what would
that
be?
That's a lot. Well, if you think of a stick of dynamite, now make
what?
30 tons. Well, it's not heavy. Now, 30 tons of that.
Is that as much as like a, would that have taken out the entire city?
Yeah, more. What? Right, yes.
Wow. But here's what's weird.
Well, depending. Because it explodes high up in the atmosphere.
Yeah. And NASA says if we make a reasonable assumption as to the meteor's speed, which they've decided would have been about 45,000 miles per hour, we can then ballpark its size at about a yard in diameter. 36 inches in diameter, going 45,000 miles per hour. And when it breaks up, it results in the release of energy of 30 tons of TNT.
Well, because the mass packed into that yard is incomprehensible.
The mass, they say, is close to half a ton. Now, see, this is getting into science that I never took nor got. So, and they do say that had it not been cloudy and raining, the fireball would have been easily visible in the daylight sky. Indications are it would have been bright about 100 times the brightness of a full moon.
Wow. Which is very bright. I mean, there are nights, especially in the winter Green Bay, because we're so far north, that the moon shining at night lights up the room like it's daylight.
Well,
wondrous. Yeah.
Well, so there's that stuff out there. And so, and if, you know, for anyone who has taken my advice and watched that funny movie, Don't Look Up, it all sort of goes together. There's stuff up there with amazing destructive power. And we're lucky that it burns up on, you know, in our atmosphere as opposed to hitting. But sometimes things hit, ask the dinosaurs.
Hey,
can't go figure.
Oh, well, yeah. So, geez, no, I didn't hear this. Chris says, I haven't heard you talk about it, but Ken Burns is doing a 4-hour series on Ben Franklin on PBS. No, I didn't know about that. That's
only
great.
4 hours. You'd think Ben would require more.
Yeah, you do. But, well, you know, that'll be wonderful. That'll be wonderful. He's my pal.
I'm thinking, you know, what's he going to leave out and what's he going to include? You know, it's going to
Well, 4 hours. I mean, 4 hours is a lot of time.
It is a lot of time.
That's a lot of time, even for a very consequential life like that.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So, Susan, other than the meteor.
You can say that just like Mother
stuff.
Does. Mother calls me up and goes, Susan!
I'm like, what?
It's like I get blasted against a wall with that, Susan! Okay, go ahead. Yes, I'm sorry, one.
That's one. Got it. I'm doing my tally right here. Yep. One. Where were we? Oh, historic. So we have a new mayor sworn in yesterday, and this is the first Black person to hold this job in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, a very racist city with only, I think, 27% Black population? Is that true? something like that. And it's fascinating. And it shocked a lot of people. And because it's Pittsburgh, his name is Ed Gainey, and he did it in the primary because that's where the action is in any Pittsburgh election. He knocked off the incumbent.
And then the Democrat wins.
Well, the Democrat always wins.
Right. Well, that's what I mean. So,
the Democrat, the primary. Right. Exactly. So I did watch some of it on his swearing in and whatever, and Faldy Rawl on TV yesterday. They streamed it. It was bad, in terms of the visuals and the it was not a. It wasn't done by people who know how to do.
Somebody held up a cell phone.
Well, it was kind of felt sort of like that. And it was also, a lot of things were like, people had taped things, obviously. So, it was a pandemic kind of inaugural. But his speech was really, really good. And I was blown away by the import of his win and of him being the mayor. I don't know really much about him. I wish him well. I did vote for him twice in the primary and in the general election. And he, you can see what happens when somebody from a marginalized group achieves this status, these heights, because he was surrounded by other Black Pittsburghers. The judge who swore him in was Black. His staff is largely Black. And you see people who the usual white guys, they now are not in these seats of power. And so what you get is something really revolutionary, new people, new ideas, new people.
A fresh look at the systems, a fresh look at how things get done.
Yeah, I just think I was really blown away by just the optics of it. And also imagine that for a Black Pittsburgher watching it, seeing that, what a profound disbelief and joy that would result in. I mean, I remember telling a Black politician here who was on our city council and I was on the school board and has been around forever and was very close to August Wilson and he himself is an actor as well, Salah Uddin. I remember thinking that Salah really would have wanted to run for mayor back when he was on the council. And I remember saying to him once, you could never, this town will never elect a Black man mayor. And I was wrong.
Isn't that nice? Well, there.
And I saw that Cleveland, I saw, has a Black mayor now. The urban areas, and this is why the urban America is increasingly run, as your city of Chicago is, by Black people.
Mm-hmm.
And New York City, Pittsburgh, Cleveland. I could go on and on and on and on.
St. Louis.
That is St. Louis. Okay. So I heard yesterday that looking at the people who stormed the Capitol and seeing where they were from
mm-hmm.
provides an interesting fact the majority were not from counties that voted for Donald Trump. The majority of people who stormed the Capitol were from, lived in counties that voted for Joe Biden.
Oh, and felt so they weren't heard.
That is correct. They bought into, this shows the racial component of it. They bought into this great replacement thing. The people in Charlottesville saying, you know, Jews will not replace us. This now is what is dominating the fear that creates a mob that did what it did.
Yeah, a mob out of people that turn out to be your next door neighbors. Right.
Right. Not like feeling like they're being, looking like I did at Ed Gainey and the people around him and seeing something I'd never seen before. And I found hope in it. They find
terror.
Yeah. Yeah. So So there was that.
Yeah, we are in a civil war. I mean, we are already we're already there.
Yeah, I sort of think so too. I mean, we got two countries and one just look. We look at horror. We look with horror on each other and fear.
Yeah, but we're right.
I know. Well, that goes without saying. Yeah. And that's the other thing, and I won't give it as big a thing, is the Steelers played on Monday Night Football last night, and it was the last time that our long-standing quarterback, Ben Roethlisberger, he's done. He's got one more away game, and he's done. So that was his last home game. And, you know, the stadium was full and raucous. It was like this big celebration of him. I don't care that much one way or the other, but I did watch because I knew it was in terms of a cultural moment in Pittsburgh history. It was something I needed to watch. It's fascinating because this is a guy when he was a very young, very good quarterback, had a reputation for
I think of when I hear his name. I've never sort of gotten past that little factoid.
Well, I'll tell you, Pittsburgh sure as hell did. and I find that interesting. And I think
because football is more important than sexual assault. Let's be clear. The NFL, that's a long standing policy, and that's why you get what's his name? The Buccaneer that walked off that was
Antonio Brown,
right.
Well, he was a Steeler for longer than...
Right. I remember. But yeah. I'm just saying that poor man needed help years ago. And instead, somebody just kept... Because he was so good, somebody kept bringing him on and not giving him help.
No, using him.
Yeah, using him. Just using him and using him and using him. And it's just... The NFL, I'm sorry. The NFL is just shameful.
It is. But how about them Packers?
I know. Well, here's another shameful thing. You know that if you have been a season ticket holder for thousands of years and you get to be in the playoffs and the Packers, you know, say, do you want playoff tickets? And you say, yes, well, they have nothing to do with your seats. Then whether you even get them and where you get them, you know, and so I find that weird. I think you should have a right to, you know.
What do you mean? You mean when they get in the playoffs, we'd lose our seats?
We don't even bother to get them because.
What it becomes a free-for-all?
It's a free-for-all. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Doesn't that strike you as weird? I mean, I understand why, because I really actually understand why. And it's also in the history that there, and you folks don't care about it, but I just think it's weird. It's the NFL, my point being, the NFL is a business, and it's nothing more than a business, and it uses its assets are not humans. They are assets. And they kill people for sport, and I just have a hard time with the NFL.
Yeah, me too. Until one of my teams.
The Packers are in the playoffs, absolutely.
Yeah, which shows how disgusting we all are.
We all are.
Speaking of corporations killing people, I came upon this. And I need to know more. I've found out only a little more. This is some breaking news a few days ago. Exxon, it's about Exxon, will finally face trial this year for torture and forced disappearances. That sounds like murder. Torture and forced disappearances by its private army in Indonesia.
What?
Yes. Can I run that by you again? Exxon will finally face trial this year for torture and forced disappearances by its private army in Indonesia.
Boy, am I glad I sold that stock.
Exxon had been doing what the Trump people do, had been throwing every legal kind of roadblock in the way. And this has been going on for 20 years to bring them to justice.
Okay, so here's what I want to know. So now that we've established by the Supreme Court that Exxon is a person, when we find Exxon guilty of murder, who goes to jail?
Him? Yeah. Well, I know. Someone has got to embody, it would seem it would be the head.
Well, I mean, this is how ridiculous Citizens United is. You know, this is what happens when a principle that was brought up for tort purposes to protect citizens of the United States is instead turned around and wielded by the person.
Okay. We have a caller. Hello?
You know, I don't see dead people. I just see stupid people.
Who will soon be dead.
You know, let's hope.
No, some of them just, you know, don't get sick enough in my own mind.
No, they don't. No, and then they take up hospital beds. They're given all the treatment. They're given ICUs. Other people put themselves at risk tending to them. And people who need those ICU beds because they've had a heart attack or a stroke or whatever can't get in. I think it's an outrage that they're given beds instead of people who are vaccinated.
I just wonder, you know, is it really too cruel to just say, okay, unvaccinated people who need medical attention, they go to the armory where there's just rows of cots and and a skeleton crew of medical staff, and but they can't go to the hospital. And then if you are vaccinated, you know, you get to go to the hospital. And if
you're engaging in fantasy here.
It can't happen that way, but yes, wouldn't it be wonderful?
Well, speaking of fantasy, all right. So, you know, we're vaccinated, you know, and if you're relatively healthy, and you can, there will be a breakthrough infection, but you're not going to get too bad, generally speaking, you know. So if I find out I'm, you know, because, you know, I'm a 60-year-old man, I'm relatively healthy, I've got the booster, I'm this and that, and I find out I have a breakthrough infection, And I'm not going to, you know, I'll probably be fine, you know. Shouldn't, you know, as my duty to my, to the human race, shouldn't I go to like gun shows and tractor pulls?
Yes,
and,
yes.
And Trump rallies.
And sneeze and cough and pat people on the back and hug them. Yes.
And chant, let's go, Brandon. You know, I mean,
yeah.
Loud and
loud as he can. With spittle. Yes.
Yeah, now your fantasy is getting.
Oh, that's a fantasy, man. That's a fantasy for you.
But that's a fantasy he could actually do. That involves only your agency. You don't have to. Yeah. Yes, you could definitely do that.
Go for it.
I mean, all of us. I mean, I'm saying, you know, and then you know, some of us will be, innocent people will get sick. But I just consider the collateral damage during the Civil War, right?
Well, all right. Listen,
it's sort of like children in elementary schools in the Second Amendment. Collateral damage.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's right.
And the crazies got their let's go, Brandon. Whatever that is, our slogan be "Don't look up"?
Yeah, don't look up. Just, you know, I know they actually think that if they put their hands over their eyes, that we can't see them. It's the same kind of thing.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. Thanks for your.
You mean they can see us?
They don't care about us. One thing I will say, first time I ever like agreed and nodded my head when Tom Brady spoke when he was talking about Antonio Brown. He's absolutely right.
Yeah.
And the guy needs help. I feel bad for him. And I think I think it goes back to that one hit you were talking about the other day.
Yeah.
It was awful.
Yeah. Yeah, it was awful.
Tom Brady also was using him and wanted him, you know.
That's true, because Tom Brady loves him, because Tom Brady saw him as a way to, you know, get another unprecedented Super Bowl ring and to keep winning. I mean, Brady, yeah, whatever. God, people are something else.
I'm trying to give the asshole credit. Now you're, you know, and then you're.
Well,
I don't give Brady no credit.
You said you gave him credit. That was a double negative. I don't give Brady no credit. Okay. All right. Goodbye, you. Goodbye.
It was emphasis.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. All right. Oh, just one more thing. I'm really pissed about this, and I saw this some time ago. Because, you know, Susan and I are from Green Bay, and, you know, we're shareholders of the Packers, and we grew up with that whole thing, and people in Pittsburgh can understand because they grew up with the amazing Steelers, and I'm just lucky as hell that I got both teams now, you know, these extraordinary teams. But listen to this. Oh, pisses me off. This has to do with the January 6th attempted coup and the people at the White House actively working to negate the will of the people and the certification of the vote. And this is from the Daily Beast. I'm just going to read the first paragraph. A former Trump White House official says he and right-wing provocateur Steve Bannon were actually behind the last-ditch coordinated effort by Republicans in Congress to halt certification of the 2020 election results and keep President Donald Trump in power in a plan they dubbed the Green Bay sweep. I was so pissed off when how dare you drag my hometown into your treasonous activity?
Yeah, I know. I was terribly upset by that.
The Green Bay sweep. They were going to put the Green Bay sweep in motion with help from members of Congress who were in on it with them. Now, the Green Bay sweep stems from the Lombardi era. And when I think of the Green Bay sweep, I think of Bert Starr. I think of Paul Hornung. Whatever. But I don't think of treason. God. Very upsetting.
It is upsetting.
Yeah. So, I don't get the school thing. If we now have a million positive cases, while that's all going on, why are schools open? I mean, in as much as they can be because of, staffing shortages and stuff like that. Nobody seems to know what to do anymore. Everybody's
one of the reasons schools are open is because they now the children are vaccinated.
Not a lot of them aren't.
It depends on where you are. In many areas, it's very hard on those kids that are not in school.
No, I know that.
And at some point, I don't know, a lot of people aren't sending their kids back. I mean, that's a constant conversation that I know people are making, whether whether kids are going back or not, you know.
Yeah. No, I think parents must be talk about, us feeling whatever I started with, 6 in 10 Americans feel worn out. For parents of school age children, I can't even imagine. And here's one of them again on Twitter. So just to get this straight, after 2 years of turning every aspect of our lives upside down to keep our kids from getting COVID and spreading it to the rest of the world, we are now just going to send them to school to basically fall in a sheep dip vat of Omicron germs? Well, you can see a parent saying that. The numbers have never been worse, never been worse. And this coincides with the school calendar that says we go back to school after the holidays. Well, how about we don't? And we wait till February? I don't know. It does kind of make you feel like the way we're fighting this is it's everyone for themselves.
Well, it sort of is everyone for himself. The second that we don't mandate vaccines, it's every man for himself.
Well, but we don't mandate vaccines.
That's right. That's what makes it that way. It means that no one's in control. No one's making actual judgments. And Fauci with this, we need the workers, so I'm changing how long you need to be out.
Boy,
what sort of bullshit is that? If it's 10 days, it's 10 days, or at least at least a test.
That tells you who really runs the country.
Corporation.
Corporate America. Yeah, without a doubt. Without a doubt. Yeah.
Well, he claims it was more about healthcare workers. And by the way, the National Guard is in Green Bay manning what used to be a neonatal unit and is now filled with COVID people.
Oh, Jesus.
And the National Guard is staffing it because the hospitals just don't simply have enough workers, and it has nothing to do with the vaccine mandate. They just don't have enough workers.
No, and that'll continue because we haven't peaked in this thing.
We haven't peaked. We've lost a lot of healthcare workers because guess what? They quit because they didn't want, or they're infected. They just didn't. They got broken by all these people.
Right. Or they're truly worn out. I can't even begin to imagine.
Well, that's sort of what I was thinking when you started with that. Like, what right do I have to be worn out?
Yeah.
All I had to do was sit down and try not to complain. There's plenty of people that have real reasons to be broken by this. They get to be worn out. I'll just try and muddle my way through.
Yeah. Hey, I got some good news. Ah! This has to do with Pittsburgh and the police. Our city council approved a bill that says that the Pittsburgh police are no longer allowed to stop a car because it has a burned out brake light, an improperly placed license plate tag, or all of the things that they have historically used to pull over black drivers who sometimes then end up dead. So the police will not be able to use that as an excuse to stop a car.
About time.
They cannot initiate a traffic stop because of a registration that's gone. Well, if it's less than 2 months, so you're still not able to stop them. Emission sticker, any of that stuff. No, you can't do it. And I'll give you, I think I have a number here. The data show that officers conducted 4,600 traffic stops involving black drivers. 2020, compared to 4,500 fewer involving white drivers. And only 23% of Pittsburgh's residents are black.
Right. That's the
important. There it is. They stop blacks at a greater rate than they stop whites, who comprise the vast majority of the drivers on the road. So that's a piece of good news, and I wanted to note it.
Well, let's see. The intent is good. Let's see what the outcome is.
Well, we'll see if they in fact do it. Now there's another case here, a horrific case of a poor guy who had a black guy again had an encounter with the police. He had done nothing wrong, but there'd been a report that he had stolen a bicycle, which he had not done. In fact, he was bringing the bike, whatever. It doesn't matter. He ends up dead. The cop who initiated that, what turned into fatal encounter, called for backup. Before this thing was over, there were 12 police officers, I believe, on the scene, and they tased this guy, I can't remember how many times. He kept saying, he was not listening to me. He's saying, what's going on here? What's going on here? And what's going on here is you're about to be dead. We're going to tase you. And then we're going to tase you again and again and again. And it was the tasing that killed him.
Right. Because for some reason, these people think that doesn't kill.
Right. So here is something. What is with police? That there are 12 of them, or even 4 of them, let's say, and one person, and you don't have a real crime. You might have a possible bicycle attempt to the cops, and then you have somebody who's not listening properly to them. And for that, somebody should be assaulted. There's no other. I don't understand anymore why, if you have 4 cops and one supposedly bad guy, that those 4 cops can't think of something to do to get control of the situation other than killing the person.
Well, it's become a tick.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, it's just theoretically there's training, right? Theoretically there's training for
all
of that.
Well, what kind of training could that be? Unbelievable.
Well, right now I think it's really more about how we've simply militarized the police, that's how they function, like they're a conquering army. And we, you know, we're the offending peasants. Or not we so much, but
black folks.
Black folks.
Yeah. Well, let's see if our black mayor can get a handle on this. I don't know. I don't know. It's not like black mayors have figured it out.
Well, it's interesting because I've been watching from afar as St. Louis, you know, first elected a black city attorney and now a black mayor. And boy, our folks yowling, you know,
what, they're not happy? What?
Of course not.
Power brokers are. Yeah,
no, they're verbal. What's happening in St. Louis is actually horrifying. I mean, you have a Nazi standing up in a city council meeting and delivering a 3-minute public comment of pure anti-Semitic drivel, and
that's going on all over the place.
Yeah, and no one stopped him. No one objected. No one did a thing. There's an Asian Korean anchor on the NBC affiliate. It was on the front page of the Washington Post today, who was getting hate messages because she mentioned that the New Year's tradition was to eat dumplings, and someone said, "Stop being so Asian." They call in and leave a message. It's disgusting.
Oh dear, I don't know.
This is you know, there's an empower the latest rage on or it wasn't the latest one that caught my attention. Wherein it was the woman who wanted the man next to her to be masked, who was complaining, at which point he calls her a Karen and she decks him. And she gets her masked.
No, I saw it. No, I am so sick of people behaving.
I'm tired with the
packs
on all their houses.
No.
You ring for the flight attendant.
No, the woman who was screaming at that guy, I saw the video, to put your mask on. Did not have her mask on. It was the most insane thing I've ever seen. She's screaming at him. Her mask is pulled down. They're like going at each other, and she has to be restrained. No, she was the one that was insane.
Well, I'm saying everybody's crazy.
Oh, buddy. Some of us are hanging.
I mean, this
on
is yeah, honestly the main reason I don't want to fly anywhere is because I'm afraid I'm going to be sitting next to some lunatic.
Well, anyway, we have a caller. Go ahead. Hello.
Good
you
morning.
Said go ahead.
Hi.
Kirsten Tisdale, I got a time when you say hello to the time the beep actually happens.
Yes, right. That's true.
But she said, go ahead. I just want everybody to know that.
Well, I was letting him know he was on. I hadn't interrupted him. I was inviting him in.
Oh,
totally
boy.
Different. Yeah, you dare to come into this?
I know. It's another day. But you mentioned the Pittsburgh police and their trivial enforcements. And I had to tell a little bit about my story one time. I made the mistake of dropping a black man off near a church in in Homewood one day, not very far from where I'd walked the vigil for Jordan Miles. And it was a rainy night, and I dropped this kid off, and I'm waiting for the police. Well, I didn't know it was police. There were headlights behind me, and it was a red light maybe 100 feet ahead, and I'm looking in my rearview mirror waiting for them to pass, and they didn't pass. The light finally turned red, and they were just sitting there, so I pulled away from the curb and started to move. As soon as I pulled away from the curb, their lights come on, and they come to the passenger side of the car, and the first thing they say is, "Well, where's the guns? Where's the drugs?" And I said, I don't have any of those. And they finally told me their excuse was I pulled away from the curb without using a signal. And I thought, well, I guess it must be out of spitting on the sidewalk tickets. And they kept me there for a good 20 minutes. And made me, they didn't actually forcibly search the car, but they continually asked. They asked me to get out. They said.
Did you get out?
Yeah, I got out. And they told me I wasn't who I said I was. And
what?
They told me I didn't live where I said I lived. But
what?
They were just peppering me with questions to try and confuse me, I guess, because they decided that I let a black person out of the car in Homewood, and I'm white, so I must be there for drugs, right? That was clearly what they had decided. And they were going to interrogate me.
Well, sure, because you don't have, otherwise, why would you be associating?
Right.
I mean,
right. Yeah, I got no reason to be in Homewood.
Absolutely no other explanation, though.
Yeah. Yeah, and then the guy asked me, what do you do for a living? And I said, I'm a nuclear engineer, and I've been under fitness for duty random drug testing for 35 years. And he said, I don't believe you. I mean, they were as rude and inconsiderate and as pressuring as you could possibly imagine. They were not the friendly police or our friends that you grew up believing if you were a white boy in the suburbs.
You should have reported.
Did you bother to take down their names or remember them?
No,
but I did write up the report, and frankly, I was afraid to send it.
Yeah.
You're kidding. Really?
No, I know why. Because who's going to stop them from harassing him? I mean.
Yeah. Yeah, I wrote it all up. I still probably have it on a computer, and I said, no, I haven't got the guts to send it, so. Yeah. But no, it was.
Man.
I mean, it certainly, not that I didn't have the perspective already, but, you know, if I reread the accounts of Leon Ford, that's exactly what they did to him. You know, they just kept accusing him of lying to them that he wasn't who he said he was. And the end of all that, you know, they said they pulled me over for a moving violation. The one thing they never did, never asked to see my registration or insurance. Because that wasn't what they were stopping me for. They just figured there's a white guy here, a black guy got out of his car, he just bought some drugs, and that's only thing they cared about, and they weren't going to be wrong.
Oh, dear. So this is why that bill is so good. Because that is that kind of pretext. You don't think it'll make any difference?
Well, I'm sort of, my feelings are, what's the word I want? I'm ambivalent about it because, yes, even though I think it will help with the amount of oppression they're empowered to do, it's sad that we're telling police not to enforce the laws because we don't trust them to.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. It used to be sort of a courtesy. They'd pull you over and say, your brake light is out.
Yeah. Or, you know, even you get a citation for it.
Or you even get a citation. Right.
But
I've been pulled over for a brake light, and
I have too. But now it's, you know, we don't want you doing that because we know what you're going to do, and we don't trust you to do.
And frankly, it doesn't stop their behavior when they stop someone for something else.
Yeah, well, that's part of what I said too. It's like, well, I'll still get it for not using my turn signal.
Yeah, that wasn't one of the things. That's right.
Yeah, there should be a few people knocked off for not using their turn signal.
Yeah.
But from pulling away from the curb at a stop?
No, not necessarily.
God almighty.
So fingers crossed. But I do think, I think Ganey's already having effect because the police officers that tased Rogers actually got disciplined. And I sent you my letter.
We don't know what kind of discipline. They've been not transparent.
We don't know what kind of discipline. We don't know who.
We don't have a clue.
So
all those cops, somebody died, you know, as a result of their incompetence.
Well, they shouldn't be able to hide the names of the officers involved when there's a death.
Yeah, they hid the names. They hid the names and they hid the punishment. But I just think the timing of that was, it's like when the Iranians let the hostages go because they were afraid of Reagan. I think the police actually took publicized action against those cops because Gainey was coming into office.
Well, Gainey already has gotten rid of the guy, and I don't know why, but he's already pulled out the head of public safety, which oversees, that's a higher position than the police chief,
mm-hmm.
right? It oversees EMTs and firefighters and the cops. And that guy is out of a job, and that position is open. So that'll be interesting. And we don't know if he's going to replace the police chief.
Well, let's hope, because, I mean, he's got the ability to maybe make some changes at the level that affect people's lives, although there's a lot, clearly some deeply ingrained stuff in the Pittsburgh police, because they wouldn't cooperate with, for all of, when Peduto tried to bring in a community policing guy and the cops just spit on him.
Oh, no. No, Peduto brought in a wonderful man to be the police chief. And I knew he was toast. There was no way these cops here would let that guy thrive in any way or tolerate him. And he was gone, what, within a year?
Yep.
He left.
Yeah, he didn't last.
All right.
Hope for the best. Happy New
Thank
Year.
Thank you. Yeah. Happy New Year. That's the problem. That's
Happy
police unions.
Happy New Year.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's police unions. Hey, thank you. Thank you.
Right,
appreciate
thanks.
It. Bye. Okay. Bye-bye. All right. Ed writes, Happy New Year. Do you think that the definition of the word subpoena might be changed in 2022? Changed from, and here I guess is the what it is now, a writ ordering a person to attend a court. A subpoena may be issued to compel their attendance.
Right.
And
to
Ed is
come,
saying
to a come as if you want, do an RSVP.
Right. And right. Ed is saying, are we going to change that to a meaningless piece of paper that was formerly used to try to compel a person to attend a court? Yeah. What is going on?
Yeah. Well, they are openly contemptuous of our democracy, its systems, it's
why
everything.
Are we
it's constitution.
Them?
Well,
then
I don't
why
know.
Are they
I
being
think
held in contempt.
Well, I think that our attorney general is going to speak to that topic sometime today.
Tomorrow. I thought. No.
Maybe tomorrow.
See, the milquetoasty Merrick Garland. I hope. I just don't know. Yeah, you can get subpoenaed, and all you have to do is say fuck
nah.
you.
Come get me.
That can't be, that cannot be allowed. We need to play the same rough game that the.
No, we just need to enforce our rules and our laws, and we need to do it swiftly. Justice needs to be swift, and by that I mean charges. You can bring charges quickly. You can take your time case. The charges need to be brought quickly. There's no but.
What I was going to say is the way Trump and these guys say this is they use the court to stall and stall and stall like Exxon did for 20 years for, whatever God knows it was up to. And there's nothing to be done about that. So you don't get anything approaching speedy justice.
No. That's why I clarified what I was saying. You can't. There's all of these things that, no, you don't go from A to Z in 5 minutes. That doesn't happen. But you can swiftly bring charges. And that puts the country on notice that the laws are in effect and violators will be prosecuted. It didn't take an army and a whole group of senators and congressmen to charge protesters, a.k.a. rioters, at any one of these around the country, they were immediately charged. Immediately.
Well, Susan, that's
no, I'm just saying what I'm saying is not shocking, is not inappropriate. It's what should be done. That's all. And to the extent that it's not being done, there are many in the country who are angry and perplexed. That's all.
Okay. Well, you said perplexed, and that's a word I don't hear often, and I do like that you used it, and now we're going to have to end the show. And if you're perplexed about why I would, because the time is up, it's up. But perplexed, that's a word I don't use, but
really?
It's a good word.
I like
that
word.
I do.
It's useful.
I think for perplexed, I would say confused, but perplexed, that's a good word, and I thank you for reminding me of its existence.
Yes, because it adds curiosity to the confusion.
Yes, it does. It knits your brow.
Yep.
Perplexed. All right, Suze.
Bye.
Thank you. Bye. Bye. And you guys, I'll begin tomorrow, okay? All right.
Lynn Cullen Live, Monday through Thursday from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. and archived at pghcitypaper.com. The opinions expressed on Lynn Cullen Live are those of the host and do not necessarily reflect the viewpoints of Pittsburgh City Paper or its advertisers.